Welcome to the Modern Yogi Podcast. An exploration of ancient wisdom.
Hello, hello, everyone.
Welcome back. We are on episode number
85.
Wow. Okay, we are on chapter 10, and my name is Shama Sangeeta.
My name is Priyadarshini.
And my name is Shamali.
All right, so we're on chapter 10. This is the chapter where Krishna is saying, of this I am this, of this I am this. So he's explaining all of his opulences.
Mm-hmm.
And
his qualities and kind of like of the greatest of this, I am this.
Right.
Again, just like of sages, of elements, of activities.
Mm. Yep. And so I asked ChatGPT to give a summary of these verses in this chapter. Are you guys ready for this?
Ooh,
yeah.
I like it.
Should I do a robot voice or a regular voice?
Regular.
Okay, fine. Krishna is revealing. Sorry. Okay. Krishna reveals his divine manifestations to Arjuna, illustrating his omnipotence, mm-hmm. got it, and omnipresence. He mentions various powerful beings, phenomena, and qualities in the universe as manifestations of his divine presence. Mm-hmm. Arjuna, and I think all of us, are encouraged to recognize and worship Krishna in all aspects of existence.
Aww,
isn't that cool?
Oh my gosh, ChatGPT.
I know. ChatGPT's got it going on.
Very good. Wow.
So I think that's like that last line is crucial because Arjuna is encouraged to recognize and worship Krishna in all aspects of existence.
Mm.
Wow.
Arjuna and us. I'd like to add that.
Yes.
Because that's what this whole thing is for. It's like we're supposed to
See Krishna everywhere.
And in all everything. Aspects of existence.
Beautiful.
Awesome.
Beautiful.
I love that.
Very
That's a
nice
great summary. Great.
Okay.
All right. The invocation, please, ladies.
Om Jnana Timirandasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshur Unmilitam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha.
Translation. I was born in the darkest ignorance and my spiritual master opened my eyes with the torch of knowledge. I offer my respectful obeisances unto them.
Beautiful.
All right.
I have like this urge for the last few episodes we've recorded to say like, Haribol, after you say that. And I don't know why.
Yeah. Just really you can like do it. Don't hold yourself back, girl. You know, this is a vulnerable, authentic podcast.
Okay.
We don't need to censor. I have to censor. Because, you know, the comedian side gets too much and then we're going to have an HR issue. But you and Shamali, you guys don't censor yourself.
You're so sweet. All right. Where did we leave off?
We are on chapter 10, text number 35, Priyadarshini.
Of the hymns in the Samaveda, I am the Brihat Sama. And of the poetry, I am the Gayatri. Of months, I am Marga Shirsha, November / December. And of the seasons, I am flower-bearing spring.
Mm. Wow. All right, who wants to tackle that first line there? of the hymns in the Samaveda, I am the Brihat Sama.
Nice pronunciation.
I tried. Nice. Got to say it really fast, remember?
Well, Prabhupada says here, it basically reiterates the same thing, but he tells us a little bit about the Samaveda. He says, the Samaveda is rich with beautiful songs played by various demigods. One of these songs is the Brihat Sama, which is what Krishna is saying he is, which is has exquisite melody and is sung at midnight.
Ooh, okay. Mm. So it's like a songbook filled with beautiful songs about the various gods. And then he's the topmost song in that songbook.
Sung at midnight. Is this on earth or is this in like a heavenly planet?
Everywhere.
Oh. Nice.
But I think it's songs played by various demigods. So I think they sing / add the music to it.
Oh, so interesting.
It's like a demigod punk band. Maybe not punk.
Demigod.
what kind of band would they be? Like a classical demigod band?
And like pop rock? Okay.
Why at not? Midnight.
Just in the mode of goodness.
I love it.
But I think when you're singing about God, it's always going to be in the mode of goodness, even if it is during a time of ignorance, which is midnight. Oh, like, yeah. It's always going to be in the mode of goodness because God's involved, right?
Yeah. I think, I don't know if this was the right category of music. Maybe Abhijit can help me here. But we went to a like punk, what was the band name? Was it Shelter? No, it was... Oh, please help me out.
Godhead.
Oh, Godhead. So our friends are part of this punk band, Godhead, and it's kind of like a little... I am so bad. I don't know categories of music, but it was a little screamo, a little like intense. It was...
What?
It was amazing. So their lyrics are all spiritual, and it's like incredibly loud, but in the most amazing... I've never experienced anything so cool in my life. It felt like good energy. And like, it's really hard to go to like a screaming, loud, like music is like grunge kind of like, you know, kind of concert and feel mode of goodness.
Yeah.
But that's what it felt
like. But can you... For the listeners, can you give us a little taste of what that was like? Because I'm curious.
Yeah.
And I'm sure our listeners are curious too. So like, what does that kind of sound like? What do you mean? Like,
what do you
just
mean?
Just like a tidbit, you know?
Maybe I should look up a little clip and show it to you. But it was like,
I
don't remember. It was so long ago now.
We're going to Godhead and it's going to be in my bed.
Yeah, I think Shelly did a pretty good impression. But it, like,
you do better.
The artistic quality, I was so impressed, and I was like, I was really inspired by them. Wow. And I felt that it had such good energy, and I've been to like a screamo kind of concert thing before, and it was not the same energy. So as long as Krishna's involved, as long as you're talking about the Supreme, I do think the mode of goodness is there.
Very nice. That was a good line, though.
Hey, we're going to Godhead. I'm going to make my bed on my way out.
You're thinking more rock. That's like rock.
Okay. I got a line. You ready? I'm going to make my goal Krishna because that's my mission in this life. Oh, crap. I missed that one.
That was good.
I was trying to rock
that
was great. Krishna.
That really flowed.
I was going to make it my Mishnah. No, I don't know.
Priya, your turn.
You know, we tried. I feel like we should really stick to podcasting.
Okay, cool.
But no, it was really cool. I would totally urge everyone to check out Godhead. They are on Instagram and they're really, really cool. They kind of bring the same energy as like, not the same, but similar energy to like the band Shelter.
Nice.
And there's another one, something 108. Oh my God. I can't remember things now, but I'm super bad with names, but they were awesome. Check out Godhead on Instagram.
Right. So cool that even in a place that you wouldn't picture mode of goodness, when God's involved, it transforms it.
Yeah. So in this particular song, it is all about God, sung by various demigods, and it's called the Brihad Sama. And so Krishna says of those hymns, I am this.
Nice. Mm. So the next one is of poetry, I am the Gayatri. So it's interesting because I'm not the best I'm not any form of Sanskrit scholar. And apparently there are different rules that regulate poetry, rhyme, and meter. Prabhupada writes, it's not just whimsical as in modern day poetry. So it sounds like it's even more complex and in depth. So among the regulated poetry, the Gayatri mantra is chanted by qualified... souls who are basically, you know, it's meant for cultivating God realization and basically represents the Supreme Lord.
Yeah, I really like that it also said that this Gayatri mantra, which you might not have heard of before, but it's the Gayatri mantra is what's given to people when they take second initiation in Krishna consciousness.
Right.
And here it's actually telling you what the qualifications for that is. Mm. It says one must first acquire the qualities of the perfectly situated person, the qualities of goodness according to the laws of material nature, in order to chant the Gayatri mantra. So basically... being equipoised, right? Being in the mode of goodness, like these qualities are imperative and important to be able to chant the Gayatri mantra, which is like why it's the second step in initiation, not the first, right? Mm-hmm. With the first, we commit to dedicating our lives to Krishna consciousness and practicing our everyday sadhana and like just kind of being a beginner in Krishna consciousness, but like consciously making a goal, right? In staying in it. And with second initiation, I think that's a position that I've always seen more of as an exemplary position. So like leaders who are in the mode of goodness and who are equipoised and all of that. Right. So it's kind of cool to see that explanation being brought here.
I don't understand that because like as growing up Hindu, the Gayatri Mantra was for everybody, mm-hmm. right?
Yeah.
And so like my mom would play audio tapes of it in the house on repeat, right? It wasn't for a specific standard of person. And so like that one's a little bit hard for me to kind of grasp because even I like the Gayatri Mantra and I say the Gayatri Mantra and like, you know, and not that I'm sect initiated or anything, but it just felt like that's such a beautiful mantra and it represents so many things. And if you listen to the meaning of it, it's like so beautiful. And so like, that's a little hard for me as coming from a Hindu background to be like, okay, only people of this standard are allowed to say it, you know?
I don't know if it's that you're only allowed. It's more like, well, actually, I guess it does say one must first acquire these qualities in order to chant. Hmm. Yeah, that's fair.
Yeah.
Fair
so
point.
Another thing. So I was reading Krishna book a couple of days ago, actually. Mm. Chapter 70 is this chapter called Krishna's Daily Activities, which is kind of like a day in the life of Krishna.
Oh, okay.
So Krishna wakes up and then his 16,000 wives are like super mad because that's when they separate. So Krishna wakes up at like 3 hours before sunrise every day, right?
Whoa. So like 2 a.m?
Like ideal householder. Wait, hey Siri, what time is sunrise? Sunrise
is at 6:21.
Okay, so anyways, pretend that was Siri.
Like
but
three hours.
2 or 3 a.m. Yeah.
2 or 3 a.m.
Wow.
And he takes a bath and he meditates on himself because that's what we're supposed to do during that auspicious hour of Brahma Muhurta, right? Huh. So we should be meditating on Krishna during that time. And then after he does that, he sings the Gayatri Mantra, which is so interesting.
Wow.
Because I think he's, as a householder, in that time,
he's being exemplary,
right? So he's offering,
interesting.
Yeah, he's offering water to the sun god. He's offering prayers to all the gods and goddesses that before him, and he's singing the Gayatri Mantra. So it's like a really powerful mantra that even Krishna himself says.
I love that. That's
interesting. Wow.
I wonder if that's something that is done. So like if you go to an ISKCON temple, they have altars and they have Krishna, and Krishna wakes up around 2-3 a.m, if you guys didn't know, because the Mangal Arati is at 4, but they have to prepare him or like they have to kind of wake him for that. So he wakes up around 3 a.m. And I wonder if they do the Gayatri Mantra for him there or not. Like I wonder if it's involved in that routine of worship.
Yeah. Because it was kind of like, you know, that Vogue Ask Me 72 questions.
Yeah,
like
yeah.
That chapter was basically like Krishna answering all of these questions of like what he does throughout his entire day. It's very interesting. Krishna book, chapter 70.
That's so cool.
Yeah.
Thank you for sharing that.
Yeah, no worries.
And it's interesting. It says the Gayatri Mantra is considered to be the sound incarnation of Brahma because Brahma is the initiator and it's passed down from him in disciplic succession. Mm. I didn't know that.
Very cool.
Very nice.
Very nice.
Okay. So then Krishna goes on to say of months, he is November, December.
I never understood this beyond, oh, cool, I'm born in December. That's Krishna.
Same,
nice. But apparently it's November, December, because in India, that's when grains are collected from the fields at this time and the people become very happy.
Oh.
So I didn't know that, like, I guess that's the reason Krishna said it, because it's very connected to the cultural location where he was at the time of speaking this.
Mm. Yeah. It's also a great month. I mean, you were born in it. I was born in it.
Yeah,
Jesus Christ was maybe born in it. I don't know.
Yeah. Well, yeah. So, I guess that's when we celebrate Jesus' birthday. But
I know,
technically,
but
wasn't he born a different time? But I forget.
Yeah. That's why I was like,
yeah.
But yes, he's kind of born in it.
Yeah. We celebrate it. Christmas time. It's a joy. It's the most wonderful time of the year. Even Krishna confirms that it's the most wonderful time of the year.
Yeah.
But what is even cooler than that is that Krishna says he is the flower bearing spring. And I feel like spring is most people's favorite season.
Yeah. Prabhupada even says that. Of course, spring is a season universally liked because it's neither too hot nor too cold and the flowers and trees blossom and flourish. So there we go. He gives the like cultural India specific reason for December. And then, okay, let's make it broad again. Everyone likes spring.
Yeah. Maybe if you had to be a season, which season would you be?
I'd be spring.
Spring's right? Beautiful.
Same.
Yeah.
No doubt.
Summer's right ahead of you. It's beautiful.
Mm,
then, you know, after summer, then it's just dark and go to the dark ages after
especially
that.
Especially in California.
Yeah.
All right. Shall we go on, ladies?
We shall. We shall.
Text 36, Shama Sangeeta.
All right. Krishna says, I am also the gambling of cheats and of the splendid. I am the splendor. I am victory. I am adventure. And I am the strength of the strong.
Okay.
Okay.
Is it splendor?
Splendor.
Splendor.
Splendor. Okay, splendor. I felt like you were just emphasizing it and I enjoyed it.
No, I think I put the emphasis on the wrong syllable there. Okay. Okay, let me start again. Krishna says, I am the gambling of cheats and the splendid, and of the splendid, I am the splendor. Oh, I did it again. I am the victory, I am adventure, I am the strength of the strong. I think we got it.
Yeah. We got it. So this one made us chuckle a little bit because, right, thinking of like, okay, Krishna is the greatest of all things to hear like, okay, as the Supreme, Krishna can be more deceitful than any mere man. Like, okay, if we're going to talk about bad qualities, he can be the most bad.
Yeah. But we also were kind of confused because we were saying out of all the types of cheating, why is gambling the worst? Yes. And we were looking for Prabhupada's words on this and Prabhupada didn't say much about it. So we were kind of like, what is it? And then we ask our...
Oh, he said it was a super laxative.
No. Our producer Abhijit of what he thought, and so we're gonna have him share with us what he thinks.
Not
Krishna
a laxative.
Means.
What was it?
That was
so. Krishna's talking about superlatives.
Oh, that's what I said.
Super laxatives.
Shama.
Yeah. So even if it's not something good, if it's the best of what you, whatever category that is, it's still a superlative, right? Superlative. So the baddest. Is also superlative. So here we're saying that gambling is the superlative form of cheating. Now, why is that?
Why?
So I've read about this in other contexts within Prabhupada's writings. And one of the things he says is that gambling gives rise to all other forms of, let's say, cheating or many other forms of violence, you could say. So in a gambling den or in a casino, what else comes with that? Drinking, prostitution, eating, overindulging, and being gluttonous, right? Mm. All of the, let's say, bad qualities that you can think of are concentrate around gambling.
Interesting. So like you're saying basically if you're drinking, you're not also likely gambling and other things. But if you're gambling, you're also likely drinking and other things. So it's kind of like a gateway drug to all the other bad things.
The gambling dens are the gateway drug.
I said gate.
Yeah, the gateway. I'm just making fun of the gambling den because what is a gambling den?
it's like a dark.
But if you're
room.
Doing underground, yeah. If it's underground, because everybody knows that gambling is not good. So gambling is only allowed in a few places, right? Mm. So the places where it's not allowed, people still want to gamble. So a gambling den is where they go.
It's like a basement or something.
But if you go to a legal gambling place like Vegas, right? You walk through a casino, what do? Every sense is assaulted with some form of debauchery, right? You're seeing, you know, half naked people and wild things. You're smelling cigar smoke and vomit. You know, you're just you're completely assaulted in every way by forms of let's say self-centered enjoyment. So that's part of why I think Krishna says, of all the forms of cheating, I'm gambling.
He's like, I'm the one that leads you to everything
else.
And
what was the word? Not super laxative.
It was super laxative.
No, it was.
What was it?
Superlative.
English is hard.
You were making a joke. You did not. Yeah.
I was totally joking. I couldn't help myself.
It was good. It was very good.
Thank you, Abhijit.
Thank you.
That was
really
very helpful to understand it.
Yeah.
So Krishna goes on to say that he's the splendid. Wait,
see, he's hard.
Of the splendid, he is the splendor.
So, what is that?
Shama, what is it?
Yeah,
okay.
Shama.
So, now let me give you some gyan. Okay, no, I'm just gonna read. I'm just gonna read Prabhupada's words. I'm joking.
She said,
in all humility,
knowledge.
Okay, so he is the splendor of the splendid. Among the enterprising and the industrious, he is the most enterprising, the most industrious. Among the adventurers, he is the most adventurous. And among the strong, he is the strongest. So I think like whatever industry or category you're talking about, he's going to be the best at it.
The super laxative.
Yeah, the right. super laxative, right? Oh, and so like goodness. Of the splendid, I am the splendor. So like of all the greatest things, I am the greatest of the greatest things.
Right,
and I
right.
think splendid and splendor are basically trying to say that exactly.
Very nice. Yeah. Very good.
Very, very good.
So, right, when Krishna was here present on this earth, it said no one could surpass him in strength. Even in childhood, he lifted Govardhan Hill. Have we talked about that when he lifted Govardhan Hill?
No, but can I tell you real quick? Yeah. I looked up splendid because even though you gave a great definition.
I just looked it up too. Yeah.
I was like, I get it, but like, I don't know what that word actually, like I couldn't explain it to you. And so the definition is magnificent or very impressive. So he's saying of the impressive, I'm magnificent.
Or I'm the most impressive.
Yes.
Wow.
Yes. So he's just kind of impressive.
Word.
Yeah, it's a really good word.
Yeah.
And it actually goes back to the story you want to tell, Shyamali.
Oh, I want to tell it. Oh, you're a good storyteller. Can you tell Govardhan Hill's story just briefly? Like for yes. children, a summary.
A summary of Govardhan Hill's story.
Yeah, for a fifth grader.
Is yeah. there context to why I'm telling the story?
Because it just mentions it again. Even in his child, when Krishna was present on his earth, no one could surpass him in strength. You know, we just talked about the splendor.
Got it.
So, okay. And the strength of the strong. So even in his childhood, Prabhupada says he lifted Govardhan Hill. So,
okay.
Can we play a fun 2-minute game? Okay. We say the story of Govardhan Hill one sentence at a time.
Oh my God.
Let's do it. Start Priya. Priya.
I mean, okay. It's going to be beautiful Priya telling, but okay, let's try.
yo, entertain. Entertainment.
Okay, entertainment. Let's do it. Okay.
Once.
No, one sentence at a time.
Oh my God, thank God. I thought it was one word. I was like, we're going to be here all day.
I'm not a maniac.
Thank God. Okay.
Abhijit, do you want to chime in on this
one? Yeah, do you want to be on this circle?
Yeah, he rolled his eyes, but he actually secretly is really excited really for this.
Okay, we're going clockwise.
You started.
Once upon a time, Lord Indra, the god of the weather and the heavens and all the demigods, thought he was the greatest god of all time.
He got upset that he was not being worshipped like Krishna was and felt like, I need to terrorize the citizens of Vrindavan.
Krishna noticed that Indra was getting a little too big in the head and thought he needed to do something about this.
So he asked everyone in the village to worship Govardhan Hill instead of Indra this time. So every year they had to worship Indra for rain so that they could have, crops and foods. But then he said Govardhan Hill is better to worship because Govardhan Hill is what grows all our vegetables.
And the townspeople were a little apprehensive, okay, because they've been worshiping Lord Indra for years to get those rains.
So they were like, all right, though, we'll listen to this 7-year-old boy tell us what to do and break a decades-long tradition. Fine. Yeah, sure, Krishna.
So then they gathered all the food and nice things that they would have offered to Indra and instead took it to Govardhan Hill.
When they offered it, they were also happy to do so, but Indra was fuming. He got so upset. He said, how dare they overlook me? They think Govardhan Hill does something. I am the one that gives them everything they want. And so he sent his clouds to attack Vrindavan.
Dun, dun, dun.
And then he sent rain and thunder and all of this tumultuous weather down on the citizens of Vrindavan.
And they became bewildered by fear. And Krishna said, do not fear. My pinky is here.
Nice.
And with that pinky, Krishna just lifted this massive mountainous hill onto the tip of it and lifted it like it was a flower.
He was able to do this because he's the Supreme Personality of Godhead. But what this also accomplishes, all the citizens were able to hide underneath as though Govardhan Hill was this giant umbrella.
Whoa.
And so Indra continued to shower with rains and rains, but nothing was happening because everyone was protected by Krishna for so many days.
Yes, it was actually 7 days in particular.
And all the citizens began singing, we're not hungry, we're not thirsty, we don't even want to sleep. Krishna lifted up the hill and held it there for one whole week. I was in a drama when
That's
I was
hilarious.
Younger. And we did Govardhan.
Yeah. Okay, continue.
So what should have been almost world-ending destruction ended up being a giant celebration.
Yes, and Indra realized that he actually had no power whatsoever and that Krishna was an incredible figure. And so he came down and said, I am so sorry. You are the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And I thought my head got big, but I shouldn't have done that.
And it's a wonderful lesson about humility. And now we celebrate Govardhan Puja every year, the day after... the day after Diwali?
It's right around that time. Yeah. It's like November-ish.
Yeah, we celebrate Govardhan Puja, and we do so by...
creating a massive mountain filled with all of these like food preparations that devotees place all around the mountain that literally represents how it used to look in Vrindavan with different ponds, the cows, everything around.
And that is the story of how Krishna lifted Govardhan Hill.
That was really nice. We just did that. Was improvised, guys. No one planned that. Shalmi sang a song that no one ever heard of before. Like, that was all improvisation. So we hope you know the story of Govardhan Hill now and Krishna's opulence.
Yes. Beautiful. And you know, it's so interesting because when you hear these stories, you think like, okay, yeah, he lifted the hill. But I remember hearing someone describe it like, no, you have to picture like, what does it sound like for the earth to break, roots to shatter, tree? Like, you can't even picture what it would sound like. And Krishna was just there, a little boy lifting it with his pinky. So
yeah, pretty incredible. So that shows that he is the strength of the strong. He's very adventurous and he's always going to be victorious.
Yeah.
Love that. Mm. All right. Beautiful. Chapter 10, text number 37.
Shamali.
All right. Of the descendants of Vrishni, I am Vasudev. And of the Pandavas, I am Arjuna. Ooh. Of the sages, I'm Vyas, and among great thinkers, I am Ushana.
Ooh, okay. First one. Of the descendants of Vrishni, I am Vasudeva.
Okay, so basically the purport gets a little lengthy, but at one part it says that here it's to be understood that Vasudev refers to in this verse of Bhagavad Gita, the Vasudev that is referenced here is Baladev or Balaram, Krishna's brother. Because he is the original source of all incarnations, and thus he is the sole source of Vasudev. So it's interesting because you know how a few texts ago they talked about the children using their mother or father's names, the two sisters. Like
the Aditi is the son of Aditi.
Right, exactly.
Aditi is the sons of Aditi are Adityas and the...
Oh, yeah, that's it.
Right, so here it kind of says like, okay, breaking it down, Krishna, we've already established, he's the original Supreme Personality of Godhead. Then you have Balaram, his next immediate expansion. And then both Krishna and Balaram appear as the son of Vasudev. So you could call them both Vasudev.
Oh, interesting.
Right, so that's why here Vasudev apparently is talking about Balaram. Krishna's first, exactly. Balaram, his first incarnation.
And nice. Balaram and Krishna are non-different. So him and his brother, non-different.
It's cute because he says, from another point of view, Prabhupada says, because Krishna never leaves Vrindavan, all of the forms of Krishna that appear elsewhere are his expansions. So anyway.
What does that mean?
I just thought it was cute that Krishna never leaves Vrindavan.
Okay. No, I didn't pay attention to the second part of that sentence.
So the follow-up is, so Vasudev is Krishna's immediate expansion. So Vasudev is non-different from Krishna. So basically all other forms that are everywhere else, even though they come from Krishna, they are immediate expansions because Krishna is always in Vrindavan.
Mm. Okay, so in this case, they're talking about Balaram being a descendant of Vrishni, and of the descendants of Vrishni, Krishna is Balaram, which is another form of himself. Yeah?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Right. The immediate expansions of the Lord are called Svamsa, personal expansions. And there are also expansions that are called, Sanskrit word, insert, separate expansions. Priya, you want to say it?
Vivimnamsa.
Right.
Yeah.
So you have different types of expansions. The more immediate ones and then the more...
Give it a whirl.
He doesn't know what we're talking about because he doesn't know. Sorry, he said it's so bad that he has no idea what we're saying.
Okay, I'll try it one more time. Okay. It's Vivimnamsa.
Nailed it. Moving on.
I think Shama can do it.
Vibhinnamasa.
Namsa.
Namsa.
Vibhinnamsa.
Vibhinnangsa.
Oh. Okay, all right.
The Cha.
So those are separate expansions. So you have expansions that are more direct and personal, like his brother, who was the first expansion, and then other more separate
like
expansions.
Is it like, are we talking about like the difference between like the people that were in Vrindavan, so like Balaram and his father, like all, or like, you know, different expansions of Krishna that way versus like Ram or...
I think so, right? Yeah.
Okay, cool.
I think that's
interesting.
Okay. All right. And of the Pandavas, I am Arjuna.
That's so interesting, right? Because all of like Yudhishthira was the greatest king. In my mind, all of them are great in different ways. But no, apparently among the sons of Pandu, Arjuna is the famous Dhananjaya and he is the best of men. Therefore, he represents Krishna. I mean, I feel like I've also heard, well, Yudhishthira is the best of men as far as monarchs go.
Leader. So. Yeah. I feel like all the Pandavas have like different qualities that they're really good at. And I think Arjuna's like the more wholesomely good. Like where he kind of carries a lot of the qualities in one. He's strong, he's wise, like he's like all the things where you can say like Bhima is like super strong, but like Arjuna also has strength.
And so he's the most complete. Like if he were, if we were to say it in podcast terms, of the podcasts, he is the modern yogi pod.
Hashtag humility. We're not gonna be like Indra and have a big head. Please don't strike us with lightning.
We just told that story and look at what I go say. Forgive me.
It's okay. Don't worry about
it.
We always do that. We always look at the skies whenever we say something too big headed. We're like, in all humility.
Let me drop some gyan on you.
What is the likelihood that Krishna mentioned Arjuna because Arjuna was zoning out and then he was like, Pandavas, I'm Arjuna. And Arjuna's like, oh, yeah, I'm still here. I'm here with you.
So funny.
Hey, to be fair, this is only a 45-minute conversation with your friend. How many longer conversations have you had with your friends?
That's true.
I forgot about that perspective that he is talking to Arjuna. So imagine if he tells Arjuna, of the greatest Pandavas, I am your brother. Like, that would be a little bit of a jab.
Do you think that's why he told it is him?
Interesting. Ooh, no, just kidding. I'm curious now.
Because he's always like, of all of the Pandavas, I actually like Bhima the best. Because Bhima cooks the best for me. Like, it would be so awkward, you know?
Awkward. Yeah. Wow. Good times. Okay. This is so fun with you guys.
And then Krishna says, of the sages, I am Vyasa. And I was asking you guys about this earlier. Mm. And I was like, he keeps talking about different sages and different names. And like, which one is he? But like, maybe there's different sages. Like there's the sage of TikTok. And then there's the sage of Instagram. Sage of social media. And then the sage of food. And then the sage of this. Like there's different types of sages. And then like, of the sage of TikTok, I am Charlie D'Amelio. And of the sage of like,
no idea who that
food
is.
I am the best pizza in the world. Right. And like stuff like that.
Could be, because in the purport, Prabhupada actually uses the word Muni. So he says, among the Munis, or learned men conversant in Vedic knowledge, Vyasa is the greatest because he explained the Vedic knowledge in many ways for the understanding of everyone in this age.
So Vyasa is like the super smart and he can like really explain things really well. Right, but then like Narada is like a great devotee. So like it's like a, like different qualities of different sages based on what they can, their greatness.
Yeah, because he could, in other words, he could say of great learned scholars who passed down Vedic knowledge, I'm Vyasadeva. Of the greatest devotees who traveled the intergalactic space, I'm Narada.
Right. Like, okay.
I don't know. I think that's a good way to see it. Yeah.
I like it.
Vyasa is also known as an incarnation of Krishna. So he also represents Krishna.
Very nice. Very nice.
And Narada was known as the great devotee because he was constantly remembering Krishna, right? And so like, that's why he was that particular sage, because he was the best devotee.
What did you guys say last time?
Narayan. See, he was always saying the names. Narayan is the name of Krishna. So he was constantly remembering the names of Krishna.
Also like, picture this, okay? So you say Narayan, but it's also a person moving their head side to side and then with their hands, they're doing the chicken dance, you know, like that, like that, kind of like that.
Yeah,
but in their hands, they have like little cartels or like clapping little thingies on their hands. Yeah. As he says Narayan, he's clapping the thingies and moving his head side to side. So just like get that visual every time we go, Narayan.
But I love that like Krishna loves that particular sage, because that's what we should be doing, right? Like, he was chanting the names and we're supposed to chant the names of Krishna. Mm-hmm. And like, that is what Krishna likes. If Krishna thinks that Narayan is the best, Narad Muni is the best because he always remembers the name of Krishna, then we should aspire to that as well.
Yeah. And to tie that in, he thinks that Vyasa is the greatest, and it's because Vyasa is so good at explaining Vedic knowledge in so many different ways. And we're trying to do that with the podcast.
Very humbly, not at the same level. Please don't strike us with lightning.
No, but it's just like we're trying to be like smaller examples of those great sages great
figures. We're trying our best in Kali Yuga.
Yeah, we're like little ants in a universe, okay?
Yeah.
Love it.
Humbly Beautiful. Trying.
Love it.
Okay, so then the last part, it says, among great thinkers, I am Ushana.
Ushana? So, and he was the spiritual master of the demons.
Yeah.
He was an extremely intelligent and far-seeing politician as well.
Interesting, because it says, so kavis are those who are capable of thinking thoroughly on any subject matter, like us, in all humility. Just kidding.
Oh my God.
I have to stop. I'm sorry. This is not us. This is just jokes. So among the kavis, Ushana and, are they two separate people?
Shukracharya.
I think it's the same.
Okay, the two parts of his name was the spiritual master, right, of the demons, like you said. Okay.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Okay. So he was just very good at thinking thoroughly any subject matter, even though he was the spiritual master of the demons.
Okay.
All right.
Text 38.
Priyadarshini.
We will accept. Okay. Text 38. Among all means of suppressing lawlessness, I am punishment. And of those who seek victory, I am morality. Mm. Of secret things, I am silence. And of the wise, I am the wisdom.
Oh, that's so interesting.
Wow. I like that verse. That's kind of a cool verse.
Of secret things, I am silence.
Very cool.
So, okay, let's break it down.
One at a time. Okay, so the first part is, among all means of suppressing lawlessness, I am punishment. So it's saying ways in which to deal with lawlessness. What's another word for lawlessness?
Immorality?
Chaos.
Yeah, yeah. Like, miscreants, Prabhupada says.
Miscreants.
Rascals.
People who participate in not abiding by the law.
Yeah.
Yes.
So whatever form of putting them back in line, that's Krishna.
I'm trying. There is a general word for like lawlessness that is not lawlessness. Like, Anarchy.
Oh, that's very good. That's very good.
Okay, so Prabhupada says there are many suppressing agents, of which the most important are those that cut down miscreants. Dun, dun, dun. When miscreants are punished, the agency of chastisement represents Krishna.
Mm. Makes sense. Someone does something
he's justice,
bad.
Yeah.
Oh, that's a good way to say it.
That's much better. So less like convoluted.
He's justice
in the form of punishment.
Yeah.
Right.
Wow.
Yeah.
And of those who seek victory, I am morality. What do you think that means, Shamli?
I'm looking at the purport. Among those who try to be victorious in any field of activity, the most victorious element is morality.
Oh, so like if you're able to win with morality, that is the greatest victory you can have.
Right, because even in previous texts, Prabhupada said something like when he was listing the different opulences, he named one opulence, like if you do this, you're a great man. But if you can do this while being like morally sound, you're even greater. Mm. So morality present through anything is the best.
Makes sense. Like, because if you win something through cheating or win something through deceit or win something through any other form, it's not as great as it is if you do it in a morally conscious way.
Exactly. Yeah. Like imagine a powerful leader, but if he's also moral, whoa, he's a great being.
I love that.
So speaking of lawlessness and victory and morality, I had to go to jury duty today.
Oh.
And jury duty is such a weird phenomenon in Los Angeles because we all had to introduce ourselves and some of us were like mockumentary filmmakers and street performers. Like it was like the weirdest crowd of people. One person was a street performer because it's Los Angeles.
Are you writing a bit about this?
I actually am. And so like the judge asked that guy in particular, this has nothing to do with the podcast, but the judge asked that guy in particular, what do you do on the street? And he goes, I perform whale noises. And I was like, really? Of course.
Your in favorite LA. Fish.
I know it is my favorite fish. But the point is, before we had to introduce everything, when the judge entered the courtroom, we all had to stand up. And then someone made us take an oath. Like, we had to raise our right hand and say that we were going to tell the truth no matter what. And it felt so weird because I haven't had to do that ever in my life. But it's like morality. It, like, if you do it properly, it turns, like, that's victory, right? Like, it's like, victory can only happen when there is morality. It's like true victory. Yeah. True victory can only happen when there is morality.
I love that. And I think it's very true. Very, very true.
Nice. The next one is an important one about silence. So it says, of secret things, I am silence. Because Prabhupada says, among the confidential activities of hearing, thinking, and meditating, silence is the most important, because by silence, one can make progress very quickly. So what does that mean? Why through silence can we make progress very quickly?
Because
you're listening more than you're talking.
Yes. So I think sometimes we have a lot of us have a way to speculate, or there's a lot of forms of negative things we can do while we talk. Until we control our mind, a lot of times there's like, we put out judgment or criticism, or we gossip, or all these forms of things that you can do with your mouth that are not like ideal for the progress of Krishna consciousness, other than chanting, right? And so, or like talking about Krishna and stuff like that. So I think it's like, they say, when you're speaking, if, what is that phrase? It's like, you don't know a fool until he speaks, or something like that, right? Something along those lines. I think silence is just like a sure way to make progress, because you're not putting your foot in your mouth.
Yeah. Yeah, that could be. I think there's many ways to take this. What pops into my mind when I hear it is, there was a quote at my school that says, silence is the language of God. And I think is when you're silent, you can hear more the voice of intuition or the super soul. And you can connect to that, like, beyond just the noise of our mind and our thoughts and all the mundane stuff. You connect to what's the super soul saying.
I love that. I feel like that's the positive version of what I said.
It's totally true. Both elements are there.
Yeah, no, for sure. But I do love that though. All right. And then is that the last
one? The last one, if you guys want to read it, it says, of the wise, I am the wisdom. So what does that mean?
The wise man is he who can discriminate between matter and spirit, because between God's superior and inferior natures. Such knowledge is Krishna himself.
Wow. Beautiful. Of the wise, I am wisdom.
Okay.
Of the wise.
So meta.
I feel that can be so, I'm still digesting that. Of the wise, I am wisdom.
Of all the wise people, he is the truth that they all think they know.
So yeah, one more time, slow.
Of all the wise people out there, Krishna is the wisdom they think they know.
Ah, that's very good. That's very good.
Put that in a poem.
And I like how you said they think they know, because we think we know Krishna, but we don't even really know the depths of Krishna. Oh, very well said. Very nice. Okay, you guys.
Is that it?
I think that's it. Yeah.
Okay. That's it for this one, right?
Yeah. And according to my research, the Saturday coming up is the Lady Sangha. So if you want to join us, we are holding a Lady Sangha in May 11th, 2024.
So join us then. Don't miss out.
And you can join us next time for Chapter 10, text number 39.
See you next time.
Bye. Bye. Hello, beautiful souls. If you like what you're hearing, please follow us on Instagram at Modern Yogi Podcast.
And if you love what you're hearing, please make sure to share a link to our podcast at Modern Yogi Podcast with all your friends, families, and long lost cousins.
And if you have any questions at all, send us a DM on Instagram at Modern Yogi Podcast, and we'll be sure to get back to you.
Thank you for listening to
The Modern Yogi.